Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, and behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppose the hired workers in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change, therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you will have turned aside from the statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always in every prayer of mine, you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more, with knowledge and all discernment, so you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate began being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Ituria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And please join in the words of the crowds. And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know if you noticed something really neat about that hymn we just sang, and the first hymn we sang on Jordan's Bank, "The Baptist's Cry." We talked about this in our Bible study a little bit, but both of them, though being historical accounts, are written in a present tense for us to hear. We talked about that a little bit and what that means for us when we sing these hymns, when we read these stories, when we read what happened in history. We get to hear the great and wonderful promises of God, both given to the people that heard it, and spoken presently to us as well. "Comfort, comfort, ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath their sorrow's load. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over." As we light our second candle and we are talking about peace this week, another quick reminder to take our Advent devotional with you on the way out. This last week was wonderful, and this week we'll have this theme of peace. It's interesting to have this great theme of peace paired up with our reading of John the Baptist, who gives us such a peaceful statement of saying, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So peaceful, so nice. I could picture that, you know, real quiet in a manger with Jesus, you know, Christmas day, Christmas morning. Real peaceful. But actually, that concept that we would flee from the wrath to come, we can say that knowing that God has offered us great peace. You see, when John was saying these things, he was calling the people to repentance. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from trusting in yourself more than God. Turn back to the one who can give you true peace. Turn to the one who can take your sin away and bring peace, not just here on earth, but peace between God and man. Were it not for Jesus Christ, we would have to be afraid of what John says. We would have to be afraid of the wrath to come. With sin in our lives, we know that we would only deserve God's wrath poured out on us. Praise be to God that Jesus was born to live a perfect life in our stead without sin. That when he died on the cross to give you his life, he would give you a life of perfect obedience to the Father. A life that does not deserve wrath. So, when Jesus did die, when God's wrath was poured out on him, he took on the punishment for you and for me. We flee from this wrath to come. We flee to Jesus, who covers us and protects us from God's wrath. Our Old Testament reading from Malachi chapter 3 does a wonderful job of putting this all into perspective for us. You see, when John was telling people this wrath was coming, he was acting as prophets had before, as Malachi had, speaking for God, telling people, you are not following God. You need to turn in repentance, turn back to him. Do not run into God's wrath, but rather turn to him and receive peace. You see, I had a professor at the seminary who loves talking about repentance in this specific way. We so often think of repentance as a much wider, larger gap for us to deal with. You see, when God created humans, though, he created us to be in a perfect relationship with him, face to face, with one another always. But in our sinfulness, in the sinfulness of all humanity, people have turned from God and walked away from him. Not just all humanity, but even you and me at different times. When we are told that we are made right with God through Jesus Christ, even then, we live in our sinful nature, and we can walk away from God. And we hear the call of John the Baptist. We hear the call of Scripture. Repent and turn back to God. And we think that that means we have to turn around, humbly apologize, and slowly make our way back. And then we'll be with God in peace and in harmony. What we don't understand is repentance is different than that. At least the whole story of repentance. Yes, we are sinners who daily walk away from God. And yes, we do need to be told that when that happens, we should turn in repentance towards him. But what's amazing is, when we turn around, we don't have a large way to go back. Our God is there with us already. Yes, repent of your sins. Yes, follow your Savior Jesus. But just know that as we're walking away from God, he's always there with us even then. When we repent and turn back, we turn into the loving arms of the Father. You know, the parable of the prodigal son that shows this really well, right? The son leaves after having taken all of his possessions from his father, his inheritance, which he receives early. He leaves the father, he squanders it, and he returns to God. Now, in the parable, he's walking a little bit back to God in that repentance, returning to the Father. But even when the Father sees him a long way off, the Father goes sprinting. And if we know the story to be like God is the Father, I assume he can get wherever he wants to go pretty fast. It doesn't take him a long time to sprint over and join us. When we turn back to God, we see our Father there to welcome us with open arms, to give us a great comforting welcome of peace. We are the ones who would cause any sort of wrath upon ourselves by walking away from God. That call to repentance is not one of full, just plain judgment. You are awful people. You should repent, but of course you wouldn't, so why would I even tell you? When John calls people to repentance, he does so because he knows there's something far greater to offer them than wrath. That is the peace that comes from God. I'm going to read this from some parts of Malachi chapter 3 to help us consider this. This is from verse 1. Behold, He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So Malachi knew, God is coming. Everyone must hear this. Well, that was true when Jesus came the first time. Of course, we know that to be true for us. When Malachi said this, it didn't happen the next day or the next week. But I can tell you now, he is coming. Christ is coming again. Verse 2. Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Jesus is coming. And who could stand against him? He has the full power of God. He is like a refiner's fire. You can picture the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, right? They're supposed to be burned up in this massive fire where if anyone else gets too close to it, they're immediately killed. And yet they're in there, peacefully standing in the middle of a fire because God is with them. The same is true for us. The Lord is coming. There will be great judgment. There will be wrath poured out on sin all over the world. And yet for those who trust in the Lord, they are the ones who will be withstood. They can't withstand. It's not our own power. We are the ones who will be stood up, taken care of, lifted up, even in the wrath that is poured out on sin. We will be at peace with God because your Heavenly Father has already provided a way through sin and death in Jesus Christ. Because of the one whose birth we're about to celebrate on Christmas Day, because of the one we look forward to coming a second time, you do not need to be afraid of what happens at the end of your life. You do not need to fear what happens when Jesus does come again. Rest assured, be at peace. You stand in the love of Christ. You stand with his life given for you. There is peace between you and the Father. There is no separation that could take you farther from his love than what he can come and find you at, to seek you out and to call you his own child. In verse 6 of Malachi 3, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. This is not just me saying this. This is God's word. You may not be a direct descendant of the house of Jacob, and yet we're told that in faith you are. You are a direct descendant of all those who've gone before you in faith, and in trust that God would bring peace between himself and people. And yet, the call to repentance still exists. So you get a question there at the end of Malachi 3 that you guys also got to share a little bit in the gospel reading. How shall we return? How shall we return to God? If we're told that we are sinners who walk away from God, how shall we return? I want to be with God. I want to stop walking away. I want to be there with him. So, looking just at Luke chapter 3, you guys said in verse 10, when the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And John answered, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. Well, the tax collectors, they said, well, they knew they had been in a pretty bad situation. In fact, when people of their day talk about sinners, half of them they're assuming are just the tax collectors. The tax collectors say, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you're authorized to do. Just do your job the right way and stop stealing from people. Soldiers also asked him, what shall we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Be content with your wages. Notice that none of these things sound like completely awful or difficult jobs to do, right? If you have extra and someone has none, well, take care of them. Maybe don't steal from people. Don't threaten to beat them up and take their things. I don't know, that sounds pretty difficult, guys. I don't know if we can do that. The call to repentance is to stop living in selfishness that would walk away from God. When Jesus says that we should love God and love our neighbor as ourself, this is your call to repentance in that. Trust in Jesus as your Savior, and He is the only way we will be saved. He is the only way we have peace with God. Now walk in that peace. Walk with God. Don't turn from Him, but walk with Him, sharing His love with others, which in turn shows that you love Him. And you can walk in that same peace every day of your life. We don't just look forward to that peace being shown when we're in heaven with God. You get to experience it every day. As we have our second candle of peace during this Advent season, as you look forward to Christmas Day and Christ's second coming, know that the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And may God bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.